Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
911 emergency. Police.
Search goes on in San Francisco for the man known as the Zodiac Killer.
In New York, the search continues for the .44 caliber killer.
See if you can explain to me why I would want to be a Scientologist.
Betches Media presents.
Tell me we have a lead.
Stone Cold, no.
It was literally like the Hunger Games.
Not another true crime podcast.
What can I say? Tough titties.
It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
Welcome back to Not Another True Crime Podcast. I'm Sarah Levine, your co-host, editor-in-chief at Betches.com. As always, I'm here with the lovely Casey Balsham.
Hello, hello.
And Danny Murphy.
Hey, guys.
So I wanted to start this episode with a new game I just made up.
Yes.
Hot off the present.
Yeah, exactly.
Hot off my brain. It's called That Time I Should Have Been Arrested, and it's exactly what it sounds like. Subtitle, an exercise in white privilege.
Yes. That's exactly what I was just thinking.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. I'll start. The time I should have been arrested, I went to Denver to visit. Well, my sister lives in Boulder, so I went to visit her in Boulder, and you guys know what I did. I tried to bring back edibles, but I don't even like weed. Like, I was just doing it to see if I could do it.
Yeah.
Which
that's
not a good idea because I was, and I didn't even check a bag. I just had it in my carry-on, and yeah. I was like sweating in the line through security and acting like mad suspicious, like going through my bag, like, oh, what's gonna, no, this. And then I had a yogurt, and I was like, fuck, they're gonna find the yogurt, and then it's gonna be a domino effect, and they're gonna find the edibles, and then I'm gonna get arrested. I did not, but that made me realize I really could not be a drug smuggler.
Did you share the edibles once you got to the city with people?
Yeah, I gave them to my brother. I was like, here, have fun.
Yeah, you're like, I went through a yogurt thing with this. Yeah. And like, so just
I almost
know how much I
ended up in TSA.
Yeah, just know how much I thought about getting caught.
Exactly.
And appreciate.
It's the most stressful 2 minutes of my life. The Denver airport's very efficient.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My moment where I almost got arrested, or should have, I was walking out of a house party, as one does in college, going to a bar, and I was like, guys, you can bring your drinks on the street, because that's why.
Were you in New Orleans?
Emotionally, yes, but physically in New York. Physically, no. But then I was just like, no, guys, it doesn't matter. And I'm waiting online to go into a bar holding, like, I honestly want to say, like, a Limerita, so, like, that should be arresting number one. But I finished, and I was like, oh, okay. And then I was going to throw it out somewhere, but right when I was about to go throw it out, a cop came up to me and was like, what are you doing? And I was like, I was going to recycle it. And they were like, that's not the issue. But then they asked me my name, and I said my name. I was like, Danny Murphy, panic attack. And they're like, fuck, I'm a Mets fan. And they were in the World Series, so I didn't get they said I didn't get a ticket because they were like, it'd be bad luck for the Mets. I don't know if they won, but
wait, is there a player on the Mets named Danny Murphy?
Yeah. So that's why I was like, go him. Like,
you should have been like, don't you know who my dad is?
Yeah.
Don't you know who I am?
Like, I'm Danny Murphy.
Even though I have
Jr.
a softball body, not a baseball body, but that's the point.
Hilarious. Hilarious. Well, I mean, for me, thinking about this, it's not just, it's like my whole college, my whole 4.5 years of college. I just should not have, they should have not let me walk. They should have taken me in like so many different times. But I will say that there was this one time that me and my roommate, we were living in Brentwood in California, and I think we went to go see a friend, but we had parked our car in the parking lot of like a strip club, and
as you do,
there's always parking there, those guys people walk there, but so we just got hammered, and I think my friend ended up like passing out, so nobody was going to drive home, and something happened, and we were peeing in the park. We as you pee everywhere when you want and you're drunk, and I think a cop just came and was just like, what are you guys doing? And we're like, we're hammered, and he just took us home. My friend passed.
Wow.
That's what happened. We were peeing and he was talking to us, and my friend went into the back seat of the car and just passed out.
Oh my God.
I guess you gotta go home now, and then he just took us from the strip club to our home.
Wow. Kindness of strangers, Blanche DuBois.
The kindness of cop strangers. Oh, but I mean, just, we should have been arrested for just peeing everywhere and falling asleep in the back of a car.
Or
at least, at least a slap on the... punish me, because I've been thinking I could get away with anything. Punish me. Jesus Christ.
My experience up until this point has led me to believe it.
How was that morning after hungover having to go to a strip club parking lot to pick up your car?
Oh, so fun. so fun because she made me... It was her car and she made me come with her. I was like, bitch, you're the one that passed out in the back. Yeah. I'm like, but you're also the reason we got to ride home, because she was like asleep. He's like, I guess we're not we're not moving her. I was like,
Iconic. Well, I'm glad that both of your stories involved drinking, because there is a good bit of drinking involved in our crime today.
Mm-hmm.
At our table today.
And
at our table today.
True. We are drinking Franzia. Mm-hmm. Not a sponsorship, but I feel like it should be.
Send us a t-shirt at least.
Yeah.
I'd rock it. Oh my God, a box wine shirt.
Ooh, or Fuck, just a big box.
Should I just wear the box?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Go away.
Yeah, so we're drinking Franzia, which is actually very apropos. We did not plan this, because we are going to be talking about the disappearance of Maura Murray. And this is a case that we decided to cover just because so many of you guys DM'd us at NATC Pod to tell us to cover this. So I was like, all right, cool, we'll do it.
We're very easy to manipulate.
Honestly, just make a bunch of dummy accounts and send me a million
DMs. It could have been two messages. We would have considered it.
Yeah. And anytime someone sends me one thing, I'm like, okay, cool, I'll consider it. And then I have a list of like 500 cases. I feel like a retired NYPD detective.
You're just like chewing gum ferociously. Like, I got to figure out the
crime.
So
stressful.
Okay. So Maura Murray is just kind of like the... I feel like so many people relate to it, because she's very much on paper like a typical college sweet girl from Massachusetts, a town, Hanson, from MauraMurrayMissing.org. And she's... I don't love her for this. She was 120 pounds, which feels like a slap in the face even now. And brown-eyed, brown hair, just kind of like your typical gorgeous, like, fun co-ed.
All-American.
Yeah. All-American chickadee girl. And that's like, she was a straight-A student, standout athlete, was a nerd, like, was studying to be a nurse, and she was even, like, in West Point for a time, and that's where she met her boyfriend. So she had a boyfriend. And
rub it in.
I know. Yeah, that's like a 120-year-old with a boyfriend, and you can run without panting.
Even missing girls have boyfriends. Rude.
But yeah, she... but yeah,
your
her
daily
entire,
dose of rude.
Her entire family loved her and said, like, kept on saying she was so talented, so smart, kind of like the kid probably like in your high school. You're like, oh, they're just like a well-rounded person, like, just
right?
Like,
not me.
Not us.
I was, but other people.
Yeah, I was like, she maybe would like let me like help me parallel park once in high school. Like, but then like, yeah, so she had a was on a campus, everything, and then she had a boyfriend. The boyfriend, of course, was Billy Roche, and they met at West Point, and then but then she transferred from West Point to the University of Massachusetts, where the majority of, or almost the entirety of, her story takes place.
Yeah, and this is the picture that is painted by, you know, her family, and a lot of the documentaries paints this picture of like this perfect angelic girl who was a straight-A student and an athlete and all that stuff, as we've just covered. But there was also this really dark side to Maura Murray that everybody kind of is just like poo-pooing around, when it's like, I feel personally that this stuff is very important, because I think it kind of, you know, when we delve into the theories, I think these all kind of play a part. Maura Murray also, for no reason at all, stole from the Fort Knox gift center or whatever,
me
the gift
Foods.
Gift shop. Yeah, exactly. But it's like, you're at Fort Knox. Yeah. It's kind of known
the
for
places.
Its, of all the places. And it was something dumb, like a keychain or a pair of earrings. But anyway, she stole for no reason, got caught. She also stole somebody's identity. She stole a credit card number to order pizza, and then like went down to collect the pizza, and of course got caught. But it just kind of like these weird out of character.
Everyone knows if you're going to steal a credit card, you order delivery.
Right? Yes, you do.
And
don't go like, pick it up. Are you kidding me?
Like 2000s. Like, that's hard to... I feel like that's like, it's so much easier to do that now than back then.
Right. Yeah. They didn't have seamless.
Yeah. Technology. We didn't have all of our information on our computers as we do now. So that, like, this had to be like kind of a big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she stole. She had that. As it turns out, Billy was pretty controlling, so it was kind of not a great relationship. I think they both kind of had some issues with each other. So in turn, it's rumored that, well, there's people at her school that rumored that she actually slept around a lot, and then there's also a rumor that she was just full on cheating.
But what
with
even
her
is track. Sleeping around a lot in college? Yeah. Like, how do you quantify a lot?
And can I say now I like her? I'm like, yeah.
I mean, well, she was sleeping with people other than her boyfriend. That's what they say, sleeping around a lot, and then she was possibly having an affair with her track coach.
I feel like that's only according to the track coach. Yeah. So I'm gonna take that with a grain of salt.
And also, that's very like Mean Girls, like trying pack.
Yeah. Coach Carr. Yeah. Yeah, the track coach is just like, I know her. But so there's all these crazy things. There was also rumors that she was very depressed. She was kind of a sad individual, even though, you know, you talk to her family and they're like, the light of our lives, the sunshine of all of Massachusetts. And then her friends were like, this bitch was sad. Like, she was sad.
Oh, man.
And she, of course, then in turns, as we get into the story, she lied about a pretty big thing that kind of led to her disappearance. She told her teachers that she had a dead relative when, in fact, that was not true. Mm-hmm. And this kind of is where it kickstarts her disappearance. Mm-hmm. This is kind of the last thing she told people. Hey, I got a dead grandma. I got to go. And fucking poof.
I guess part of me is like, who among us hasn't made up a dead relative to get out of class? And so I don't know. I think it's interesting because nobody's perfect. Like, no one's this all-American angel.
Right.
Even Hannah Montana had a dark side.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Wasn't Hannah Montana the dark side?
Yeah, you're right.
The darker character. Yeah. The wig with bangs.
I just think it's interesting because I feel like every person has like different sides, and if you were to go missing, like, obviously your family would want to play up the good parts.
Yeah. If you went missing, your family wouldn't be like, she was kind of like this bitch. She was kind of a mess anyway.
Yeah, she drank all the time. That's what my parents actually, my parents say that about me now. Yeah. My parents like think I do drugs, and I literally don't.
If they listen to the first part of this episode, alcohol. you're afraid of gummies. Oh, yeah,
I know. I'm like, mom and dad.
Your brother, on the other hand, loves drugs.
Yeah.
And yogurt.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And yogurt. So this is just kind of like a, what do you guys think was more of, like, just from the research that we've all done, what do you think was the truer side to Maura Murray?
I sort of feel it was kind of like that typical moment of, like, when you go to college, obviously you act differently when you're home with your family. Like, you kind mm-hmm. of put on like a, you're kind of going to communion every day you go home situation versus when you're in college, you're kind of more like even-ish, like not the real you, but you kind of amp up the parts that you want to like go to college for. So like,
yeah,
she'd be drinking a little bit more, going out a little bit more, messing around a little bit more. So I feel like she was like a little bit in between, but she kind of took like, my college self, I would just like drink a lot of shots of Smirnoff. But her thing was stealing credit cards. So like, there's that to consider.
I mean, I think also, as we just discussed, both of your guys's almost arrests happened in college. And so what if you guys were to go missing right after that happened? Like, people would be like, oh, well, he was drinking in public.
Yeah she was going hanging out with strippers.
She was saying
hammered at 22-year-olds. Yeah. Yeah, I get it. No, it is. It's really hard. Her act out seemed to be like that she's breaking out of this mold that everybody else had kind of like put her in, to me. Like, obviously, yeah, you're a straight A student, but it seems like she was brain smart, but her street smarts were a little.
Well, her brother even kind of said that to the Boston Globe. He said that she is very smart, but she isn't street smart.
Yeah, because obviously, she got caught.
Like, she's like feeling rough, but
yeah. But like, I wonder if this was like the rush for her, because she also clearly was in this weird relationship. Yeah. So it's like some of her decisions were questionable at best.
Yeah, because that's something to consider. Like, going from a place like West Point, which I can only assume is pretty strict.
Yeah.
With a boyfriend who might have not been the best to her.
Yeah.
And then going to all the way up to UMass, where it's kind of like a larger school.
It's a huge party school.
With new friends. Yeah, big party school. And kind of just being like, oh, this is kind of like a new me situation.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, maybe. She was like, I'm just, girls, we're just like the rest of us. Or like, what, stars, they're just girls like just us. They steal things or something.
There you go.
She wish went, that's what I was looking for. Yeah, it's just weird why she chose to do some of those other little things.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it is weird. But I mean, these weird things, I feel like, definitely do play into her disappearance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I definitely want to get into the timeline. Quick disclaimer, most of this information is per Oxygen, the Boston Globe, and the Whitman Hansen Express.
Right.
All right. So in order to get into the disappearance, we actually have to start a few days before.
Mm-hmm.
So the weekend of February 9th, 2004, Maura's dad, Fred, was coming to visit Maura to get her a new car. Apparently she drove like a Saturn, which was a piece of shit.
Yeah. Like, honestly, like, he would tell her, like, don't drive this far. You're not going to make it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yikes. On
foreshadowing.
We do our own special effects here.
Yeah.
Yes. On February 5th, Maura called her sister during a slow point at work, and they talked about guy problems, as you do.
Mm-hmm.
And then February 6th, 1 a.m., so this is like a few hours after this first phone call, she gets another phone call and is crying slash visibly upset. And her supervisor actually has to comfort her.
Yeah. And this phone call was really like, it's kind of discussed about when they talk about her disappearance, they talk about this phone call a lot because a lot of people seem to think that this was something that triggered maybe her with wanting to leave or run away or something like that. It comes out that the call was from her sister, and Maura got really upset because her sister had had a lot of problems with alcohol and with sleeping pills and kind of doing this thing. So her sister was actually in rehab, and her sister's husband, and the sister finally came out and kind of said this whole thing. I was like, I was dating this guy. I was very insensitive. I actually don't remember if it was a boyfriend or a husband, but anyway, he picked her up from rehab and essentially drove her right to a liquor store.
Men.
Which I know. It's like, it's heartbreaking to hear that part. And so, so the sister, I guess not being strong enough, you know, having her own demons, fell back off the wagon and called Maura to tell her about this. And that's what kind of triggered Maura to be really, really upset. And that is what the phone call, the infamous phone call where she was about. So, crazy. Oh. And then again, interesting when we get into more how that kind of plays a part into some of the things that Maura purchased before.
So
her disappearance.
Yeah. But then after we had the phone call, a day or two later, Maura's dad, Fred, does end up showing up to get the new car. Mm-hmm. Kind of just get brand new whip, MTV crib style. Mm-hmm. But then they
you mean Pimp My Ride?
Yeah, Pimp My Ride. Oh my god. MTV whip. Guys, if someone wants to give me their cable access, I can I will never make an error again. But then they kind of go to dinner together and one of her friends, Kate, joins. So kind of just like a typical when your parent visits college, like, hey, we're going out to dinner. But then Kate and Maura go back to campus to have a party with her new car. And she borrowed her dad's car to go to the party on campus. And then I have to read this exact reference that they were doing. Yes. The girls were chatting and drinking sky blue malt mixed with wine.
Yeah. What?
What is sky blue malt?
Yeah. If like you know what vodka? Sky no. blue malt is, can you please tell us?
Or also, can you stop drinking
it? Why are you mixing it with wine?
Yeah.
I feel like that's how I know I'm old. The only thing I mix with wine these days is club soda.
Right? Yeah. Or ice cubes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And anything malt liquor gets you. Yeah, but anything malt liquor gets you fucked up. So just the fact that like wine gets you fucked up and malt gets you. This girl was, they were drunk.
And my favorite too is that like that came from a 17 magazine interview with one of her friends, Sarah. So I'm like, I love how, like, that's all her friend had to offer. Yeah. No details about anything going on.
Yep.
Maura, where could she be? Who knows? She's like, I don't know, but I got sky blue malt on the brain. And that's exactly. Yeah. So then Maura, during the party, said that she wanted to bring her car back to her dad because she was borrowing his car. But weirdly, her dad was staying at, like, a place nearby, and they were already on campus. So it's sort of just like a rule number one of drinking, don't drive. Kind of don't do that. But Maura didn't listen to that 100% and drove back to her dad's place and then got into a car crash. So her dad's brand new Toyota, shout out to Uber, was completely messed up with over like 10 grand worth of damage.
Yeah. So I feel like there's also, if she was depressed, like this could really spiral you into a guilt circle of
The weird thing is in all those interviews, Fred is like, yeah, I wasn't mad about that. I told her, don't worry. I'm like, my dad would have killed me for that. End of episode.
Sarah's death is solved. Sky blue malt. Yeah. but it's one of those things where you have to like check in. And I would assume that his other daughter would have told him about her struggle, or at least Maura and him would have talked about that over at dinner. So kind of, you know that that's on
her
brain.
But maybe they didn't want to go into it in front of the friend.
That's true. Yeah.
But the other weird thing about her driving even at all was it was truly unnecessary. Aside from the fact that she was drunk, like all she was going to pick her dad up at his hotel in the morning.
Yeah.
That was always the plan. Like there was no reason for her to drop that car off at 3:30 a.m.
No.
And I feel like it's one of those things, like even for something like when you have that drunk friend who's like, I'm going to text my ex, and you're like, don't do that. And then you leave thinking, okay, I told them not to. 20 minutes later, they're on the phone crying for 5 times in a row. So it's sort of one of those, she might have just been in a mindset where nothing was unfortunately holding her back from
doing
that.
She was going to drive that car by hook or by crook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So then we kind of wonder, like, what is sort of in her headspace going on? So we clearly kind of can assume she's sort of, like you said, spiraling or set off by a lot of the, like, she just, 3 days ago, she got a phone call from her sister saying that she fell off the wagon with an unsupportive boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
gets into a car crash, ruins her dad's car.
That's a lot.
A day. And mm-hmm. then so kind of just like so much spinning in her head on top of like school and her boyfriend and her relationships. And speaking of her boyfriend, she emailed him on February 9th. I got your message, but honestly, I didn't feel like talking to much of anyone. I promised to call today, though. And from Boston Magazine, they got that quote. And also that she looked into renting a Bartlett condo that she and her family had vacationed in the past. So it's sort of like, was she looking just to get away? Like, what was sort of her end game for this? So then this is when she kind of gets into the email that we were talking about, where she emailed a work supervisor and mm-hmm. teachers that she'd be out of town due to a death in the family that we now obviously know did not happen.
Was a lie.
And wasn't a lie. So then she's kind of just like, things are obviously like turning a lot in her head. She called 1-800-GHOSTO, which is a catchy phone number, but it's a place where you can reserve hotels in Vermont. So she sort of is like brainstorming a lot of
places. She's planning something.
There's something going on.
There is something.
The gears are turning.
Yeah, something's happening.
Yeah, so the last thing she does is leave a voicemail to her boyfriend, and then at about like 3:30 p.m., she's off campus in her Saturn sedan, going to who knows where.
Yeah. This is obviously where we sort of lose pieces of her timeline, but we do know that at 3:40 p.m. she withdrew $280 from an ATM. Then she went to a liquor store. Okay, this is like literally my favorite detail.
It's just
but
so weird.
She spent like $40 at the liquor store and bought like Kahlua, vodka, box wine, and I think one other thing.
Yeah,
I know. I know she bought like.
I thought it was maybe another bottle of wine or
something like
bottle
that.
Bottle of beer. Something.
She
just
bought a ton of liquor for $40.
Yeah. Yes.
And so this is my favorite detail of the case.
She
Thank
was
you.
Going somewhere to party. Whatever she was doing.
They were out of Sky Blue. Yeah.
They had no malt liquor, but she was like, "I am getting out of here, and I'm drinking a box of wine."
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean. Then
she doesn't know that you can do that at your own house.
As you did.
As I did two nights ago. Hello, party time.
Then 4:37 p.m. is the last recorded use of her cell phone. She calls to check her own voicemail. And we don't really know for sure when Maura left to go drive up north. Mm-hmm. But the next time she was seen is later that evening in the White Mountains hamlet of Haverhill, New Hampshire, after she crashed her car into a snowbank again.
I mean, Maura, like, this is, what the hell are you up to? What are you, I mean.
That's the crazy thing. I feel like when a lot of, I think that this might be why so many people are captivated by this case. It's because when I've covered other disappearances, mm-hmm. there's a lot less info. It's usually like they went out to party and they never came back, or she went for a drive and never came back. But this girl was clearly planning something.
That's the, because like if it was one thing where it's like she went missing after the party when she was going to return her dad's car and then just kind of drove off, you can sort of case close it or think in your head, oh, okay, she was drunk driving, probably got in an accident or something. But no, she was, as we know, relatively level-headed, planning with a motive of her own that is undisclosed, a next step for just her.
Yeah.
Covering tracks, emailing professors, leaving voicemails to boyfriends,
looking
stuff like
up
that.
Hotels.
Yeah.
And it's in the oxygen dock. This is another kind of like black hole part of this story. The two people that were doing the dock recreated the drive from the liquor store to the crash site, and there was a whole hour that they got there basically an hour earlier than the timestamps of Maura Murray's crash and the timestamp from the ATM in the liquor store. So there's also all these theories that, like, where did that other hour go? Like, did she stop anywhere else in between? And that's also a part that is just
did she sit
such
in the
a mystery.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Did she meet up with people? Yeah. Did she stop? Yeah. Did she stop anywhere to go get a drink? Yeah. Did she go get food? Like, what happened in this weird hour? Is that like, was she stuffing the rag and the whatever? There's all kinds of weird shit that could have been happening in that time. But there is one hour that's unaccounted for that's wild.
We don't know about that hour, but we do know that around 7:20 p.m. a school bus driver, Butch Atwood, saw Maura's car in an embankment, and he stopped to ask if she needed help. And according to him, she declined his help and said that she had already called AAA, but he knew that was a lie because there was no cell reception in that area.
Right.
Weird. So then he drove 100 yards back to his house and called police at 7:43. Mm-hmm. He actually wasn't the first person to call the police, though, because at 7:27, a woman named Faith Westman had called the Grafton County Sheriff's Department to report the vehicle. But it just seems like Maura really didn't want the police to show up, which I guess if it was like my second car accident in like almost as many days, I probably wouldn't want the cops to show up either.
And that kind of shows she's like fast on her feet too. I mean, obviously the cell reception was a clear false, like kind of like dug her up for that. But like all the things like emailing her professors, doing everything, she kind of knows how to like web a story.
Yeah. Well, true. I mean, I think also part of these other things that she did, stealing the identity, like she had a dark side. Like she was a little sketchy, like, to be honest, like she was a little sketchy. Bitch was sketchy. I know Butch changed his story a bunch. I think at one point he said she wasn't drunk, and then other reports say that she was drunk when he actually saw her getting in a crash. So chances are this crash might not have been planned. But she might have just gotten to another drunk wreck. But at 7:46, the police arrived at the scene. So 7:20, he sees her. 7:46, the police get there. So that's 26 minutes for her to just vanish because nobody was inside.
Probably even less, actually. Yeah. Because if if he calls police at 7:43, he gets home at 7:43. I don't know how far it takes to drive 100 yards in a school bus.
Yeah.
But it's probably a shorter window of time that she's last seen and goes missing.
Yeah, it's really truly a quick window for somebody to absolutely cover all of their tracks.
Especially
it's kind
after
of
being
incredible.
In a car crash, like you're shaken up in your body, I'm assuming,
and
is
being drunk,
stiff and sore. Yeah.
And it was the middle of winter, so it was fucking freezing. Mm-hmm. There was inches and inches and feet, and there was a lot of snow.
There was miles.
I watched
metric unit
three
too?
Miles
oh my God,
in the snow, back and forth, uphill. But basically, by the time the police officers got there, she was fucking out of here. Nobody was inside or outside of the car. The car was locked. But inside the car, they ended up finding some red stains, which they believed that were wine, which, you know, goes with our theory that she was hammered. But they were in the inside and the outside of the car. And they also found an empty beer bottle and a damaged box of wine also in the car. Basic car things. There's a AAA card issued to Murray. Blank accident report forms, which I think are important because she got those because of the initial crash from her dad's car. So it shows that she was still thinking about things in the future. So to me, it means that something, you know, happened that this wasn't, I don't know. I just think that she was planning on coming back from this trip. Gloves, which they used for the cadaver dogs, but apparently they were new gloves. They had never been worn. And then just basic stuff, CDs, all this stuff. And then a bunch of driving directions to Burlington, Vermont and Stowe, Vermont. But all of her like debit cards and credit cards and her cell phone, all of that was missing, which is kind of weird.
And they haven't been used again.
And they were never used again. Yes.
And also kind of like the weirdest thing that I feel like with the car, the police found like a rag stuffed inside the muffler pipe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which after Googling what a muffler pipe is, that's not where rags are not supposed to go in there.
I mean, don't always Google muffler pipe because you'll probably see some.
Unless on a Friday night.
Dirty things. A rag and a muffler pipe. Yeah. that's a sex position for sure.
So that's just kind of interesting of like, did she put that there? Was that put there? Like just like another twist to this.
But it was believed to be her own rag.
Yes.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like a random
from
one.
Her roadside kit.
Yeah. And her dad later came out on the oxygen dock. Mm-hmm. Her dad said that actually he taught her this trick about the rag because he's like, your car's such a piece of shit that it will smoke. But if you ever want to get past a police test, which that doesn't even make sense to me, but this is what he said. But he told her to stuff a rag. So when they were asking him about it in the documentary, he was like, I told her to put the rag there. And he doesn't talk like that. But establish a character. also in the car. An interesting fact, especially since we're so fascinated with what she bought with liquor. The liquor was gone.
Oh, that's true.
She took her credit cards.
I mean, you got to take your loved ones with you.
Yeah. You do. You have to save all you can.
Titanic lifeboat. Yes.
And there were also sleeping pills, which I found. There was one prescription that was full and one that was empty, which was interesting to me, seeing as alcohol and pills were her sister's problem. And then here's Maura just like sad about it and following in the same fucking steps. It's just sad. It's really, really weird. What happens then is when the police come, it's Sergeant Smith and Butch Atwood, the bus driver. They both start driving around the area searching for Maura. They leave at like 9:27. So they gave it a solid, almost 2 hours that they look for them. They went around the back roads and they basically said that she was gone. This is the account from them just kind of searching everywhere. They walked up a bit, they drove around, and they had no sight of her, not even like footprints either, which is bizarre.
And then, because
of the snow.
Yeah, and then like as the search kind of continued and people more and more got involved, her family was there and everything like that. And kind of like you mentioned, the dogs tried to find her scent, but with no luck at all. But then at her boyfriend and his family arrived to New Hampshire to try and help. But then when this is like kind of like a spooky part. When the boyfriend and his family was flying to New Hampshire to help with the search, his phone was on his phone is off because he was flying. So but during that, he received a voicemail that people believe was Murray sobbing, and we have a clip of them describing that.
Ugh.
The message basically in and of itself was just a woman breathing and then possibly a whimper or some sort of noise at the end, which we believe to be her.
And I just imagine getting off the plane and getting that voicemail.
I feel like the craziest thing is there's no real way to know that that was her. Because I feel like I remember phones back then. If someone left you a voicemail and didn't tell you who it was, like, their number wasn't automatically, like, sent to your phone or anything.
And I know it was made from, like, a calling card. So she, like, no one can really determine the source of the phone or where it came from.
Can we also, I thought also at this point they were broken up. Weren't they?
Well, because the last thing that she said to him was that she just kind of needed some space and a break, and that was the email.
Yeah, she said she didn't feel like... I mean, they were still talking because he called her.
They were still talking, but I thought that they were kind of on the rocks.
I think they were definitely during, like, the rocky roads part of their relationship.
Okay, okay.
But then, I don't know, because I watched a lot of... It was either 2020 or Dateline or one of those types of programs, and I feel like I remember Billy's mom saying that, like, they were going to get married and all this stuff, so... I don't know. There's kind of inconsistent reports.
Yeah, there are. Because it's like they also, her family talks about him. Like the dad is like, he was a good guy. But both the sisters are like, we fucking hated him.
Yeah, and the mom is like, we loved Maura. Like the,
his mom. I feel like
it is a very interesting idea, like vibe too of the entire case of like kids and their parents and the relationships they have of like who they are and who they really are and kind of the mix between that.
For sure.
And that's why I feel like this case resonates with so many people, especially in college, because they can kind of relate to being this poster child.
Because we're all sketchballs.
Being a poster child in the suburbs, and when you get to your campus, you're kind of like putting on a different hat or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. A poster child in the streets and an identity thief.
In the sheets?
In the sheets of sorts. I don't know.
You're an identity,
Nailed it.
Somewhere.
New catchphrase of the show.
There we go.
You're welcome.
There we go.
I think this is pretty much where most of the evidence ends until recently. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I know Fred at least had some issues with the police. Who doesn't? Join the club. Mm-hmm. His thing was that neither the New Hampshire State Police nor the Haverhill Police questioned anyone who lived in the vicinity of where Maura was last seen until 36 hours after her disappearance. And anyone who's watched a single crime show knows that the first 24 hours are crucial.
Mm-hmm. And even if you want to extend the first 48, because there's also that show too.
48, right. Yeah.
But they're basically
But they
like
did
after
it within 36. Yeah. So, I mean.
Oh, that's right.
36 hours would be a great
My math was like, but also 48, not realizing that 36 was smaller. I apologize. One glass
of wine. So that's his like first gripe. He also says that the New Hampshire police didn't investigate the possibility that Maura was abducted. And I think I read this either on Wikipedia or somewhere that like pretty close to the time after the disappearance, they were basically telling the family that they thought she either died of exposure or committed suicide. Yeah. And they were like, wait, we don't think that at all. Yeah. They also never contacted the last people that Maura had called on her cell phone, who were the condo owners in Massachusetts where they had vacationed in the past.
Yeah.
And this is where we talked about the glove. Mm-hmm. So they had used a glove to track Mora's scent using bloodhounds. As we know, the bloodhounds like lost the scent about 100 yards into the woods. I think, is that 100 yards the magical number? I might be off on that measurement. But they lost
inches,
the scent.
Inches, feet, miles.
pretty close into the woods. And Fred also had a problem with the glove that the police used to track Maura's scent using the bloodhounds. And we have a clip of him just talking about why he had an issue with that.
But if they had asked me, I'd have given them something that she used all the time, like running gear or something like that. But I don't know. Maybe she did wear it, but it was pretty new.
So that could have just been like an example of the police just taking an easier route and being like, this glove is here, let's use it, not really digging deeper to think if this will be useful.
That's the thing I know for a lot. You need something that smells so, has such a scent of the person they're looking
for. Why do you know that?
I mean,
I just know that they need
something. I only told you one reason why I almost didn't get arrested.
I think that there was a certain point of, do you guys think that this case was just beyond New Hampshire police to deal with? Like, I think that they had no idea.
What do you think are the biggest crimes in New Hampshire?
Yeah, like people, like, just accidentally, like, I don't even have an example.
I don't know. Something rich. Something that
latte,
rich.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, drunken brawls. Like, what do you do in that state besides drink? And, like, ski, maybe? Yeah.
Ski boys. I don't know. Ski boy.
Oh, man.
So I can see how Fred would have been so frustrated to be like, these cops aren't even taking my fucking daughter's disappearance. They're basically given up. They didn't even start it. They just think that she, because I think the cops really did convey that they thought that she was just a teenager who was like.
Well, they conveyed that to him and to the boyfriend's family. But I also think that when you're the parent of a missing person, you're, unless the police find your your kid immediately, you're going to be pissed at them.
Because you always feel like they could be doing more.
Right. Yeah. I mean, do you? Because your kid is like your only, you have tunnel vision. That's the only thing you care about. The police have a huge caseload.
Yeah.
I mean, do you guys think that they were neglectful or incompetent at all?
I feel like it's kind of what you were touching on. I mean, like they could have obviously been doing more, but I feel like also the amount of crew and understanding of what they could do for a missing person, I feel like they are probably at their capacity and sort of like, there's more than one, unfortunately, like there's more than one missing person going on or issue happening where they're doing what they can, but it's one of like 15 cases they're dealing with versus just like the case that is on their mind.
I thought that they're incompetent and they were unsympathetic. You know, like they really kind of didn't seem like they cared. And I think that, you know, we don't know how many other times this has happened in other places, but before, like I know we're going to talk about it, like social media played a big part in Moore's disappearance. And I think that if that wasn't such a thing, we probably wouldn't even know about this and we wouldn't even know how bad the cops fucked up. But there was such a spotlight on them because this case ended up being such a mystery and had so many holes.
Well, speaking of holes, I think it's weird because you guys noted that Fred... Yeah, I didn't make a sex joke. You all thought it.
I just had so many jokes that came to my head. Not the time.
Fred didn't sit down with the police for apparently five and a half years.
Yes. So he didn't
but
help.
But he claims that he definitely gave like an initial interview.
But that's also like, no, I definitely did it. Like, you know what I mean? It's sort of like a weird
thing.
Well,
I'm sure he sat down with them initially, but maybe he didn't give a formal interview.
Yeah, and then...
People are so quick also to be like, Fred had something to do with it. And then he wasn't helping by also just like kind of like
just
reprimanding
railing
and
against
yelling
the cops,
railing against the cops and then not even fucking talking to them. So I think people were just like, what is going on? It just, there's so many things that were mismanaged by everybody.
But I guess I would also be wary of talking to the police under
who
any
didn't
circumstance.
Help. Yeah.
So
who didn't,
because
I don't know.
I was like, what am I going to get from that? And it's sort of an interesting thing that you touched upon, how like social media played a factor into this.
Yeah.
Where it was like sort of, because this happened, I know it's like a weird thing to think about, a time when Facebook wasn't ruining our world or our entire world.
Right.
But, what a world.
Yeah, she went missing like the week Facebook started.
Right, right.
So this is kind of a thing where now
the public could weigh in.
Yeah, like
and
her
people were talking about it.
Was now millions of people online and kind of just everyone giving information and stuff like that.
Which is kind of impressive because Facebook back then didn't even have a way to notify you when someone posted on your wall. You would just have to check it all the time.
Yeah. But I mean, I think this is kind of because it was the first thing that was in the vein of a public opinion and everybody has an opinion and we all think, I think that's why there were so many different theories as to what happened, because all of a sudden we gave everybody a way to chime in and say what happened. So some of the theories we're going to discuss, we're not going to get into all of them because some of them are wild and out there, but some of like the main ones, and I can't wait to hear what you guys think happened because I know what I think happened.
Yeah, I definitely have solved the case with me and my internet connection.
Laura, come on out. Yeah.
She's a special guest.
No. That's awesome.
No, she's dead.
One of the first ones.
She's for sure dead.
One of the first ones, and Sarah kind of touched on it, that like, the police are like the idea that she just ran away and the police were kind of writing it off as that because people were saying that, you know, she had everything packed. She kind of put ducks in a row. She was calling things. She just wanted to kind of get away and run away, which no one really, like, the family doesn't totally believe, and not a lot of people believed. But the Boston Globe reported that she, like, very, like, strategically packed all of her belongings into boxes before she left. So it's sort of like a, and, like, removed art from her dorm room. So that was kind of, like, a peculiar, like, detail that someone would, you have to have a process or, like, some reasoning behind, like, stripping your life bare before heading out.
Right. But then again, I did read that UMass had a long winter break. So that maybe is why she packed up all her stuff.
Yeah, because in college you get like a month and a half off for Christmas.
But that's a weird, like,
but I've I went to college like really far from home, so I never packed up my room.
And like taking posters off is a kind of weird, like, yeah, because if you're coming back for the spring, you're still gonna love friends. You know what I mean? That poster
still gotta have
there.
That Audrey Hepburn.
But also everybody.
Audrey Hepburn girl.
Oh, it's for sure. Yeah. But there was also, they said that she left the email from the email exchange with her and Billy on top of one of the boxes, as if to be like, this is why I'm. I don't know. It just seems
that
like
seems
it
like
was
that's how I would like
weird
leave
clue.
A boyfriend who cheated on me. You know, pack up all your shit, like ghost, and like leave a note. I don't know though. Know.
Yeah, yeah, and of course there's also the theory that she just wandered away from the accident and died of natural exposure because it was so cold.
Yeah,
but they have yet to find a body or bones. But I mean, if she was drunk, she could have wandered and just gotten lost. And
but then there's the fact that the
back.
Bloodhounds lost the scent 100 feet, so it doesn't. To me, that doesn't seem very likely.
Yeah.
Because also, I'm assuming she'd be, like, having, like, some blood or like, and I think in a car crash, there'd be some scratches where there'd be more traces of her, like, DNA.
Especially when you drink, you bleed more.
Yeah. Also, I feel like if she had taken her phone and her cards with her at some point, they would find that if she had dropped it in the snow.
And she brought the alcohol, so just, like, even, like, empty, like, some
yeah, you'd
of
think
trail.
That they would find some sort of trace if she had just died in the woods.
Yeah, yeah.
There's also a theory that she just got picked up by someone nefarious.
The first Uber, yeah.
The first Uber. Yeah, Maura's brother even told the Boston Globe the likely scenario is that she got picked up by someone. Personally, this is my theory. And another thing bolstering this theory is that Faith Westman, who was the female witness who initially called 911, she told a dispatcher that she could see a man in Maura's car smoking a cigarette. This is per the Whitman Hansen Express. In a later interview with Maura's father, Faith and her husband said that they couldn't actually agree on a description of the person they think they saw in the car. She thought that she'd seen a guy with a cigarette, while the husband thought it was a woman on her cell phone, and they both saw a red light. So the woman thought that's from the tip of a cigarette. The guy thought that is from a cell phone. I don't know how narrow cell phones were back then, but that seems weird. There was also a witness who thought she saw Maura with an older man, and we have a clip of that.
She saw a young woman with an older man, a man probably in his 60s. The young woman had her arms folded in front of her and seemed to be mouthing the words, "Help me." The woman finally realized what was happening, but before she really had a chance to do anything about it, the young woman and the man left. The woman did not get license plate numbers or any further of a description of this young girl. She swears that this young woman is Maura Murray.
That witness was drinking Sky Blue.
Yeah, thanks for being helpful. Like, what the fuck?
That's like that Mad TV, like, this man, he looked like a man situation of just, like, having no details.
It's like oh, yeah, I saw this, but I didn't get any info. That was, like, I watched the Phoenix Colden documentary on iTunes, or on Oxygen, and this woman, like, claims that she saw Phoenix, who was, like, this woman who had disappeared on a plane and, like, didn't alert anyone until the plane landed and she went to, like, the Southwest counter or whatever. I'm like, what's wrong with you? Page a flight attendant.
Yeah, say that now. Like,
if that button is not for finding missing people, then why do you have that, like, call the flight attendant button? Come on.
And it's an interesting thing where I feel like that also comes with the social media thing. Like, people now, like, saying things to get a little 5 minutes or 5 seconds of fame of being like, I saw this, interview me type of situation.
Yeah, that could definitely be true.
So, sir, you said you believe this theory. Do you think that she was picked up by, because there's the two things where she was picked up by, it's just bad luck. She was literally just, it was a murderer that was driving by and got her. Or do you think she was picked up by a friend?
No, I think that she was just picked up by a random murderer because...
Guys, so, you gotta look out. They have the license plate that says that. RM.
Yeah. Okay, well, think about it. This girl had gotten into, like, two car accidents in, like, what, maybe 48 hours, whatever double of 48 is, 96 hours.
So don't ask me.
She has bad luck, and we know that for a fact. And so why is it such a strange leap to believe that she just had even more bad luck?
And also she was drinking, so her judgment was a little impaired.
She was, yeah, she could have been drinking. Her judgment could have been impaired. She was also just vulnerable if she was drinking.
Yeah, and so you think it was somebody that she didn't know that was like, "I'll take you, sweetheart," and then
That's what I think.
That's such a bad one.
But I don't know why. I'm just insane.
That's the other thing is that people think that she was picked up by friends and now she's living and flourishing with a child in Canada.
She's Justin Trudeau's assistant.
Such a bizarre theory.
I kind of want to ask you about that, because how do you think that she had the wherewithal to disappear to Canada, and why would she ditch her car?
I feel like it was one of the, because like the way that she had so much stress going about her, and kind of what made me think about that was that she left West Point like in very stressful circumstances, just completely went to UMass. So then she escaped like the our relationship with her boyfriend, like physically and stuff like that. And then when a lot of things were piling up with her family and like school and things like that, I feel like she's someone who was just like a little like some issues with like stress and like some things going on in her brain. And like when the going gets tough, she just is like, "I'm starting over." Yeah. So I feel like that, and like getting cash and things like that.
But then why take the credit cards and never use them again?
I feel like just like to make like she probably, because I feel like it was sort of a thing where she was like, I already called the cops. She was wrong. She probably did something where she's like, if I take my credit cards, they might not know whose car. I feel like she wasn't always with her brain where without. And also, all of this was done after half a box of Franzia.
This is true.
Okay, so you noticed some other connections, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There was definitely around the same time that Maura went missing, there was also a few other girls that had gone missing. So people were trying to tie in this theory about a serial killer. So actually the same day that Fred had held a press conference, at the Woodsville American Legion Hall, did that with the parents of Brianna Maitland, who was a 17-year-old girl who was last seen leaving a waitressing job in Vermont. And that was about 6 weeks after Maura went missing. And there was a lot of similarities, like her car was just kind of found abandoned. And so a lot of people were like, this is the work of one guy. And then there was also the parents of another girl named Amy Riley, who was also, had gone missing, and she had last been seen leaving a bar, but that was back in 2003, but she actually was found. Her body was found in 2004 in a pond. But still kind of close to New Hampshire. It was still only about 120 miles out. So
do you think it was a serial killer?
I don't think it was a serial killer at all. I think somebody picked her up, but I think that it was an acquaintance. Okay. I'm kind of going on the oxygen had this medium come out, and she was like,
"Oh my god!"
I believe
as a size large, serious. I have issues with that.
She had a medium come out, and that I think there's like this other possibility that it was just accidentally, like she got brought to a party and she like overdosed. And I don't believe that that was it, but I do believe that she was picked up and something random happened. I believe that her death was accidental.
Interesting. Here's who I think picked her up.
Okay.
A while after the disappearance, a man came forward with a rusty jackknife. Trustworthy individual.
Yeah, very New Hampshire.
Yeah, he basically suspected that his brother might have been involved. He had a history of violence, I guess. But the police didn't really take it seriously. They didn't accept the jackknife. The brother was not considered a suspect. I think Fred Murray ended up with this knife.
Oh, God.
So then here's what happens. So there's an A-frame house about a mile from the crash site. They take cadaver dogs there. These dogs go bonkers, which I guess identifies possibly human remains. This very A-frame house had formerly been the residence of this dude's brother with a jackknife.
Wow.
And a sample of that carpet from the house was sent to the police, but the results have not been released to the public.
Why? Just release that annoys me.
Let
so
us
much.
Sleep at night.
Yeah.
But I bet it's just because they didn't find anything and they don't want to be like, "We didn't even know how to test
it." I think though, if they did find something, they can't release that because they don't want to tip off the perp.
Yeah.
Because I don't know who this guy is or where he is right now.
Because I feel like
that's what I think. I think this guy came out of his house. I mean, it's a mile. It's like a 20-minute walk. Yeah. He came out of his house, like, intercepted Maura. This just seems the most likely to me.
And I wonder if it's something where they can't release information because this is just, like, it contains more than some DNA, so it could be linked to something bigger there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's ongoing.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Ongoing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That's just, that's so creepy. But there's so many creepy and weird things that have been about. Wait, did you tell us what you thought happened?
I'm the Justin Trudeau. I'm Canada. The
Canada. Oh, you're Canada. You really do think she's Canada. I thought that was a joke.
I'm so weird that way. But yeah, I really do. I don't know why. I kind of just, well, because in the track record, do I think she's still, I feel like she might not be with us anymore just because of the way that her life goes, it seems.
Yeah.
But I feel like she was just someone who, like, really, and I know people like this, like, when something happens, they just need to run. So it's sort of like she just didn't want to deal with anything. Was kind of like jumping.
Yep.
And then was just like, I'm going
border jumping.
Yeah.
How do you think she got to Canada?
I feel like it could have been, it was like a hitchhike gone not as bad situation. Where okay. Someone took them there and they just kind of were able to cross.
So you think it was a random person that took her there? You don't think it was the tandem, it was a friend?
Because my thing is like, if it was a friend, there would have been like a phone, like, because you can't just meet up. Like, you would have had to contact them.
Well, she hadn't called anyone.
Yeah, so yeah. That's like, there was no traces to anything right. of like a friend to me. And it's not like she was on a street right outside of you. Like, she wasn't just like waving for someone because she's scattered.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, why don't you just explain this tandem thing that you're kind of alluding to, Casey?
Oh, the tandem thing is just that she was picked, she was followed and picked up by a friend. So I think we all like, so it's again, one of the theories that she just walked a little bit and was picked up by somebody. But the tandem theory is that she was picked up by a friend who then kind of covered for, took her to Canada as one of
I guess I have issues
thing.
Believing that because it doesn't seem like she had called a friend and like how was she gonna like set this up, telepathy? I don't
and
know.
And also my thing is
maybe that
like
hour
a friend would have
maybe
like now a friend could have should have come forward and there would also been like a friend
right.
of a friend
like what's
like,
the
oh,
benefit to keeping that secret for so long, like at least just let the family rest.
And also I watched like 7 seasons of Pretty Little Liars. That friend that friend would have told a friend that they were picking up Maura.
They
like,
would have cracked.
It would have cracked, you know what I mean?
But I will say I do think, and this is kind of like there's a couple other like weird little details that we're just going to mention here. I think Kate knew her friend Kate, as we mentioned, the last person to kind of see her at this party. I think Kate did know more, but you're right, like it doesn't make sense that she wouldn't have said anything after all this time, but she didn't tell them anything. This was like her best fucking friend and she didn't give them any info.
That's what you think, that's what makes you think she knows more than she's letting on?
Yeah, because she like didn't give up any information. It's like, Kate, you
but what do you mean, what if
she
just didn't know it?
Yeah, because there's a lot of things people don't like, and especially someone like Maura who seems to kind of work dance around topics and kind of quickly like put on defenses. I feel like
maybe
we're just speculating
yeah. Yeah.
But what's to stop her from like also not telling like her friend something?
I guess there's no reason. I guess I just think that if it's her best, I'm just going from
I guess it's like, has she not given any info or help in like an obstructive kind of way, or is it just like, oh, this bitch hasn't been helpful?
Well, she had,
you know,
it's the, I feel like it's the same. Like I think that she was not helpful and she was kind of like shady, kind of just like, meh, you know, like wasn't helpful. So that's just one of the weird things that I thought was weird. Obviously, we talked about Fred not sitting down with the cops, but also the cops never interviewed her sister, even after 15 years. After 15 fucking years,
weird.
They didn't talk to.
That's mad weird.
Yeah.
Especially because that was one of what even if we were able to like detect that,
if
that's kind of what
podcasters were able to be
after
like,
after
hey.
A glass of Franzia that we were like, I think set her off.
Should we all get jobs at the New Hampshire PD?
I mean, we could have cracked that case. And obviously we're doing this in just one episode of a podcast, but this is something that I thought was so weird. There's a couple other podcasts going on about Maura Murray. There's like literally one just, I think, called The Disappearance
Missing Maura Murray.
It's got like 200 episodes, but these guys.
Too many.
So
it's too late to start
that's
now.
All yeah.
It's, but these guys have gone through some very, this is a very, very ominous. These guys have gone through some weird, weird shit. So something that we didn't mention was that, when they started the podcast, they were sent an email from an anonymous and they tried to track the IP address. Yeah. They tried to track it. They basically were given coordinates that said, stop looking. And they were giving these coordinates as to where they were alluding that the body of Maura Murray was. Mm-hmm. So they tried twice to go and find this. And each time, each day, without mentioning it out loud or without doing anything, each day they attempted it. they were sent another like email being like, don't do it or something weird. Like what? They were basically, yeah. So where they're like, are we being hacked? Like, how do they know? So the first time they were going to go do it, because there was all this sketchy stuff, the guide that was going to take them through this mountainside was like, fuck you guys. Holy I'm not shit. Taking you there. Oh, no. And then the second time they actually did end up doing it. But the same thing happened on the same day. They were like on their way to the mountain and they got an email and they were like, holy shit, it's the same person.
It's their FBI agent. Yeah. The one assigned to them.
Yeah. Yes. So, but like, how crazy is that?
That is so weird.
Other weird little facts.
Wait, so they didn't find anything, obviously.
No, they went to the thing and it was like,
that would have been episode 201.
You're right, you're right. No, it was, they went there and there was like literally nothing there. It was just a mystery.
That is so weird.
Things. Weird little details also. Moore's mom actually has since passed. But she passed away on Moore's birthday.
That's sad. But I think you can die of a broken heart, literally, because Carrie Fisher's mom died like
3 days
so short after Carrie died.
Yeah.
Just a weird coincidence.
Just a weird, weird coincidence. But I know for her whole family, they're like, so that day is just a little weird in our house. There's also reports that lots of the people at UMass, which this is, and this is why maybe I'm going with Kate Knows More, because there was reports that people at UMass said that she was telling people she was fucking out of there. She was telling people she was going places.
Well, Sarah hates that.
Like, I don't know.
No, I'm just like, what just tell is us what's wrong happening? With you.
Yeah. I know.
Because that's either like, say what you know, or I'm like going back to the cynic in my mind of people just want to talk about this to talk about it and get a little recognition.
And it could just be like total confirmation bias too, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They mean like, just, oh yeah, I totally knew that. I knew that all along.
Oh, she said she was doing something. Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, I heard she liked Franzia.
Yeah.
like everybody wants to be part of the story. And then another thing that I'm just going to touch on for just a second before we kind of move on here is that one of the main people that have been reported about Moore Murray is this guy named James Renner. And he is like, he's kind of a controversial figure because he got a little obsessed. Like he literally said it was like ruining his life. His family.
Right. He wrote a book.
He wrote a book. He did all kinds of things, but his theories are so fucking different than every, like he's convinced that Fred is like the biggest part of the missing thing. Fred, her dad, obviously.
Right.
He's got all these kind of other weird, wonky theories, and he's essentially had to like shut down the site that he had devoted to her. Because I mean, like, he's kind of been into her for a long time.
Yeah, I think in the book, I know he caught some flack because I think people thought he was like alluding to Fred having like abused her, and I'm like, bro, don't like
grasping for things that aren't.
Like, that's pretty fucked up. I know we've made a lot of fucked up jokes today, but like.
Yeah,
even we have a line somewhere.
And, like, to do that to a guy who's just like grieving so
much, it's pretty fucked.
Trying his hardest to find his missing daughter, and then like this guy just coming up and making a website, basically like propaganda against him and ripping him apart.
Well, I think I've read that Renner claims that he was not alluding that, but people nonetheless think that he was.
There's only so many ways that you can't really misconstrue something like that. Like, I think alluding, I mean,
I didn't read the book, so I don't want to like say for sure.
No, but this guy was a huge. So, I mean, like, if you're interested to see what his theories were, they were very different than the most talked about ones. So take a peek at.
Okay.
At his
so
site if you wanna
our
look at that.
Theories are Canada.
Picked
ski
up.
Ski house.
Picked up by the ski boys.
Ski boys.
I think she was picked up by these people that she kind of knew, and I think it was a murder gone wrong that they had to cover up.
Well,
or a death gone
I
wrong.
I was gonna say, do any murders go right? I don't know.
I mean,
okay.
Viola Davis knows how to get away with murder.
I guess you have a point.
You're
there.
Right. Okay, and then my theory is, A-frame house dude intercepted her, and there have actually been some new developments that point to me being right. So ha,
stop it.
This article came out literally a month ago on Oxygen. So Julie Murray, who is Maura's sister, told Oxygen that apparently two different cadaver dogs responded to what could be human remains in the basement of a home right near the site of the crash. So we don't know for sure. It wasn't stated explicitly that that's the A-frame house.
Right.
But it seems likely. And the reason that they found that out now is because the house switched owners, and the owners let Fred Murray like get cadaver dogs in there. They sent ground penetrating radar that also had a positive hit at that house.
Oh, God.
And basically the family's like, do what you want. So the cops have not dug up that basement. But so now the family might actually go and do it themselves, which is nuts.
Why would you want to see that?
I know. But I mean, it just for like, they're trying to get like any sense of closure also. I mean, yeah, it's sort of, they've had to kind of do this entire investigation. I feel like they put in the grunt of the manpower. So it's sort of just, yeah, another thing they have to do.
I feel like this family, these homeowners, are like the real MVPs, because they're like, sure, just come and tear up our new basement.
I hope it's not finished. If it's, oh my God. Oh, if there's a Jennifer's convertible in there, oh my God.
I got so confused when it said you said the family was going to, I thought just the new family was like, we'll find her, and not Morris family.
No, they're like, here, just go in. But they literally are just like, here, just go in and dig it up. I'm like,
oh,
what?
Oh my God. Insane. How wild. Oh. So.
Yeah. All right. Do you guys think that this is ever going to be solved?
I guess
that's kind of hard to say.
I would, in my mind, I would hope so. But I for mean, sure. It's also been going on for, yeah. I feel like it's one of the, it's just getting colder and colder. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I've just been so invested that just for selfishly, I'm like, I need a button. I need to know what the fuck happened to this girl. It's because there's just, there's too many. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, we only touched on some, there's still more theories.
There's so much information. There's we could be here for 4 hours.
Yeah. I mean, literally, there's 200 episodes of a fucking podcast.
Yeah. Right.
The two documentaries. It's just, it's honestly like, it's so, I really would like to see it, but yeah. I don't know.
What would shock you the most if the police were like, we found it. If I came tomorrow and I was like, I solved it. We
Canada.
Did it.
Canada would shock me.
What
would
I agree.
Canada would absolutely. If she was I'm just targeted? Like getting groceries.
No, yeah, yeah, sorry. We're personally victimizing you.
No, I know. It's fair. I feel like what would shock me most if any of her family members were involved.
True.
Because right now, I think that is completely unreal. They Hands are just off. Like a hurting family who is trying to like.
Who. A lot of them also fried, like, wasn't even in the state Not at the time. Not in the state. We don't even know where the sister was.
They've put in their entire life, especially her dad has put his entire life census into it. So much money, so much time. If I heard that he remotely had any, like, percentage of something to do with it, I would be completely shocked.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah. Aside from Canada.
Sick. Yeah, what about you? What do you think?
I mean, just Canada, like Canada. I think I would be the most shocked if she were alive, because it's like it takes a lot of effort, I would imagine, and coordination to truly just disappear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that would just be it. Unfortunately, as bad and fucked up as that is to say, like that would surprise me the most.
Yeah. Do you guys? I mean, you don't think she's dead? You think she's
I think she went to Canada, but is most likely dead now.
You think she's dead?
Yeah.
She's dead.
I think so. I mean, it's been 15 years.
That would be a huge shock, too, that if they, instead of finding out.
Yeah, if they just found out that she was alive this whole time, that would be truly wild, I think.
Because that is one thing that her parents kept, like, her dad kept saying. He's like, she would have called.
Right.
Yeah.
But
it's crazy.
We don't know. Maura Murray had many sides to her.
True. Mm-hmm. Well, if you guys have theories, thoughts, feel free to send us an email at natc@batches.com, DM us at natcpod on Instagram and also Twitter. We have a Facebook page, not another true crime page.
Look it up. Yeah.
That and works. Then we also have a group that's a fun secret group that you can request to join. It's called Not Another True Crime Group. So join there also and discuss. You could find me on Instagram, Sarah F. Carter.
I'm on Instagram at Cashmere Danny with a K.
I'm on Instagram as at CaseFaceB, case with a C.
And if you guys saw on our Instagram, we've been taking suggestions for our sign-offs. So we're going to start reading the best suggestions. And we're going to start this week. Our sign-off comes from Nikki_Yaz.
Woo! Woo!
And it's until next crime.
Love it. Fucking love it. Yes.
Betches.